Let us turn again to the part of God's word read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, where we read these words at the beginning of the psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, the river thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That is by way of introduction that this is a psalm or a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And this prayer or psalm is founded first of all upon a meditation, for that is what we have at the beginning of the psalm here, Moses meditating upon the greatness of God, the eternity of God, the brevity of our own life here in this world, and the mercy of God and the holiness of God. And out of these meditations there arises a prayer. And that's the way it should be as far as you and I are concerned. Our prayers ought to arise out of a meditation upon the Word. For by nature we do not know what to ask for as we ought. We are such ignorant sinners, we do not know what we need, and cannot put our finger upon our lack. The Pharisee in the temple thought to pray, but his prayer was not heard. He thought that he was righteous. He thought his good deeds would suit the case, and that God would be as taken with his good deeds as he was himself. But he went up to the temple and came down again, and he received no reconciliation or redemption. He had not, because he asked amiss. But if we meditate upon the Word of God, if we let it lie, as it were, received by faith in our hearts, turn it over in our minds, consider it from this angle and that angle, like the pearl of great price, turning it over and looking at it from different points of view, admiring the beauty of it and the suitability of it, then prayer arises, and that prayer to ascend to the throne of God and the ear of the Lord above. He begins here then with God, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. It is a very remarkable thought that sinners would dwell in God, that he would be their house, their dwelling place. We think of going up to the house of God at the time of the service on a Sabbath day, entering in, sitting down, worshipping, and then going home again. But here is Moses, and the view he has under the Spirit of God is of his dwelling in God. And so God was his house, and he went in and out at that door, and that house was his place of residence. And he went back there in the evening, and he spent the night, and then he came out again in the morning. And if a man is asked for his address, well, he'll say where he lives. Well, Moses said, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, dwelling in God. What an exalted scheme the scheme of salvation is. Man fell from his first estate by sinning against God, and he wasn't fit even to dwell in the Garden of Eden. He was cast out of the garden because of his sin, his breach of the covenant of works. He wasn't fit to be in the place that God had put him. But here is the outworking of the covenant of grace. And here is an object or a subject of the covenant of grace, Moses, the man of God. And he finds his dwelling place, not to go back to Eden, not to go back to the comforts of the covenant of works, but to return to God himself. God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's where he lives. That's his security. That's the roof over his head. That's the walls around him. That's the foundation. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. What a mercy if you were able to say and to sing Psalm 90 from the heart. Thou, Lord, hast been my dwelling place, my dwelling place. The Lord, my God, I am thy shield, the Lord said to Abraham, and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not. Well, the Lord would be pleased to help us. I should like to consider the first of all, the God spoken of here as he is revealed to us in this psalm here. The great and glorious, infinitely great, infinitely glorious, eternally great, eternally glorious God of the world. Because that's who it is. And that's who is needed. There is an immeasurable level of grace in God being our dwelling place. But it's not an unnecessary measure of grace. It's all required. There is nothing less will suffice or meet our case as lost and ruined sinners, found in the miry clay and in the pit, and our feet set upon the rock and a new song put in our mouth. Nothing less than this is required. The intervention, the mercy, the grace, the strength, the eternal purpose of a sovereign God. That's what's required to save one sinner from the power and authority of sin, and from the wages of sin, which is death. There is secondly here Moses, the man of God, distinguished for grace, distinguished for meekness. He was a very learned man also. He had been taught in all the learning of Egypt, which had a high point of learning in the ancient world. He was groomed for